Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Feedback and Insights, Shiur number 178. This book that we're basing this on, I've got to get out of my way, which has been the Shiurim that we based this on, this book for many Shiurim, is an extremely fundamental book. It should be a textbook that, although he does discuss addiction, drug use, drinking, and so on, but the yesod should be yesod of every single thing here is for every single individual in every single situation as a human being, as we demonstrate and will continue to demonstrate. And today, the idea of how lying is the greatest obstacle is a tremendous key, because he was told by people who were sincere to wish to stop drinking or using drugs or any type of addiction, that if there's an effective shortcut to overcome the addiction, what is that? That's to stop lying. It's virtually impossible to continue the addiction if you're absolutely truthful. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyah Perek Yud, pasuk Yud, that emes is what attracts Hashem's attention, that emes is the name of Hashem. Well, you can look it up over there. And the overriding importance of emes is from the fact that usually the Torah does not prescribe a cautionary regulation to avoid averis. So, for example, the Torah says you're not allowed to eat meat cooked in milk. Rabbanan made it that you can't eat milk and meat, even if they're not cooked together. And then they made another precautionary measure that you can't keep meat and dairy mixed. It has to be totally separate. And then, according to most Rishonim, you can't eat chicken meat. Technically, that's not considered basar, according to most. The Rabbanan made it. And another example is the Torah asked certain works on Shabbos, and then the Rabbanan created a precautionary measure. What's that? Muksa. Don't even touch it. Don't move it, and so on. So the Torah created an Isser, and the Rabbanan created a Geder. Over here by Emes, the Torah itself created the Geder. It's a Pella. Not only does the Torah forbid lying, it goes so far to say, Midvar Sheker Tirchak, distance yourself, which means do not do anything that may lead to a lie. And if someone does something that may have to deny having done, you're over on midvar sheker tirchak. Now, some tzaddikim, many, took this to an extreme. They took to MS to an ultimate extreme. When the Chafetz Chaim published the first chelik of his Mishneh Berurah, he went to various towns, and he'd give drushes in those towns. And he noticed the announcements of the speeches given by the author of the Mishneh Berurah, and he took his pen and added the words of the first chelik of the Mishneh Berurah, so that people shouldn't think that he completed the entire work. He brings other stories, which I'm not going to go into, about different tzaddikim that were very careful about staying away from sheker. There's one chassid of a particular rebbe that gave the rebbetzin a gift of a silver-plated menorah, and he got rid of it. He says, number one, why do I need to indulge in luxury? The rebbetzin said, well, it's not really luxury. It's not real silver. It's only plated with silver. And then he answered back, then it's luxury plus it's deceptive. It was so important that, you know, to this particular tzaddik, someone referral from Bershad, that when he heard a child of his told a lie, he sat shiva for him. Again, that's an extreme. He took it extreme. He even got to an extreme. He wasn't a nisayan about it. He had to testify in a court to say something, and the only way to get the person off the hook was that he would have to lie, and he was forced to testify. He davened Hashem should save him from that dilemma. He actually died. Okay, that's an extreme case. Chetzkel Levenstein, also an extreme case. He had a close friend. Actually, it's the other way around. Chetzkel Levenstein was a close friend of Rav Yitzhak Isaac Shore. And when Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Shore was nifter, then it was assumed Rabbi Cheskel would give him a hesped, and he refused to give the hesped. Cheskel Levenstein explained that He had just lost a grandchild, and he was concerned that the Levaya that he said it about, that he would say about this friend of his, he would be thinking about his grandchild, and that's Sheker. And Rabbi Yola Apian, it's when he was a Shliach Tzibur on Yom Tovim and Musaf, and he said, Hinini Ehoni Mamas, and Nirash V'Nifchad, that he's afraid of, frightened and trembled before Hashem, he would take away those words. He did not say those words, I stand frightened and trembling before Hashem. If it's not true, how could I say it? You have this also with the Nevi'im. When Moshe said, Hakel HaGodol HaGibav HaNoira, Yirmiyah took away Gibar. How could it be Gibar? The Goyim are dancing in the Heichel. The Yirmiyah, Daniel took away the word Noira. They're oppressing our children, the Klal Yisrael. How do you see the Noira? Which means like this. Of course, Yirmiyah and Daniel both knew that Hashem was a Gibar and Hashem was a Noira, but because they knew that Hashem was absolute truth and they did not see in a clear way his Gedula, his Gevura, and his Noira, so they did not believe it was right to say it because they were so dedicated to the Emes La'amitai. Same thing with Rabbi Yola Apian. He knew how truth was so true. He couldn't say, I stand frightened and tremble before Hashem, if he felt that it wasn't the case or he wasn't on that level that he actually felt it. Now, here's a little tricky thing. Rav Tversky believes, you could clear from what he's saying in his book, that you know, when you don't attend a friend's wedding because you're not in the mood, and your friend asks you later, why didn't you not attend the wedding, and you don't admit that you just didn't feel like it, and you make up an excuse, I'm sorry, I had to take my mother-in-law to the doctor's office, or white lies, and he says there's no halacha that justifies this. Now, I don't know if that's exactly the case in every circumstance. I guess you would have to ask a shayla. You know, the question is, if you didn't go because you're under the weather or there was something on your mind, you know, to tell it in a little more exaggerated way, I don't know. Because, you see, it is Mutar L'shanes with Pnei Shalom to a certain degree. And that is an interesting shaila that everyone needs to ask for themselves. You know, when do you stick to the absolute truth and when do you are Mishana and the Asholim, and you sort of soften it and deviate somewhat to keep peace. And in a marriage, that's a very important concept to know when to apply that. Somehow another one that's well known in our dar to be sticking very strongly to the Midah of Emes, which was Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. And nevertheless, he figured out a way with his pure Emes to figure out ways to still not hurt people's feelings, and to work out in the way he worded things to make people feel good and nevertheless not say any type of sheker. That's an art. That's a gift. And you need to learn how to do that. If I guess someone is very, very driven to be emes and they're equally driven not to hurt people's feelings, Hashem will give it in their seichel and in their way to be able to navigate the two. To be able to say the emes without compromising and hurting someone's feelings by that in certain, you know, in the way you express it. Ben Yoyada says the same thing, by the way, that even in a marriage, when it's mutar l'shanei, sometimes, like by Sarah, it says, v'ani zakanti, Hashem changed the word, didn't say that she said my husband was old, right? And that is a mahalach in marriage, but he warned very carefully that you have to be very careful that the relationship has to be based on an honesty. You can't hide from each other important things. You have to learn how to share it. If there's something difficult that has to be shared, it's true. And it's difficult. You don't lie about it. You have to learn how to word it. But burying it under the rug is usually not healthy. So even mutar l'shanes mipnei hasholim, when you're allowed to change certain things because of peace, you have to know how to go about it. Because as a general rule, that is not the healthy thing. The general rule is to be truthful to one another. But there's a way to be truthful in a way that's derech eretz dik, that's honest, but also in a way that will not hurt anybody's feelings. He said a fascinating thing, Rav Tversky, in his practice. He learned a very important lesson. He had one patient who was a chronic complainer, came up with all these new physical symptoms, and Rav Tversky felt that the complaints were just an effort to get additional medication for things. So he wrote an order to the nurse to give him a placebo injection of 1 cc of salt water. I guess that's safe to inject. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But it's a placebo effect, meaning it has no effect whatsoever. So the patient will think they're getting a shot with a particular medication, and in reality, it really doesn't do anything. And the nurse told him that she can't follow the order because the director did not allow to use the placebo medication. And that was strange because when he was an intern, they used placebos all the time. When they were faking pain, when a patient was faking pain, they used to give these placebos, these pills that really didn't do anything. So he asked the clinical director, which was his mentor, why did you prohibit the use of these placebos? Again, placebos are the medication that really have no value. It's just for the patient to think that they're getting it so they should psychologically feel better. And he ascribed it to the theory of evolution, but the reasoning had merit, even if you don't believe in evolution. But this is the way he said it to Dr. Tversky. He said that long before man developed his ability to speak, we communicate in the way animals do, whatever his theories are. But here's the key. Verbal communication is superimposed by an older nonverbal communication. So in other words, we communicate both verbally through words and we communicate through nonverbal ways. It's just that our conscious verbal communication, when we talk, overrides the unconscious mind and unconscious communication. Now, we have control over the conscious control of what we say. We have a choice of what to say and what not to say. But you don't have voluntary control over your nonverbal communication. So the mentor said that if you give a patient a placebo, so your verbal communication will say, I'm giving you something. I'm giving you a real medication that will help you. But there's nonverbal cues in your communication that is reading to him that I'm giving you nothing. And you're sending this patient contradictory mixed messages. On one hand, your words are saying, I'm giving you something of value to help you feel better. But your nonverbal body language is saying, I'm giving you nothing. The patient senses this and it diminishes his trust in you, undermines the doctor-patient relationship, which is the only tool you really have in this type of therapy. So the fact that he said this in using evolutionary terms, and we don't believe that, and we believe in creation, doesn't change anything. He is correct. He is correct. There is a nonverbal cue that overrides a verbal cue. And also he was correct by the fact that it's ethically wrong. And you can't be a good liar. Your conscious mind will lie, and the listener's conscious mind will hear that lie, but your subconscious minds will communicate and you'll get the truth. You'll somehow get this truth. In a weird way, he says, interesting, that when it says loisa shakru, means you're not allowed to lie, but really it's a statement too. Loisa shakru, you can't lie. You can't lie. Sooner or later, there'll be a sense. You could dupe people to a certain extent, but sooner or later, the truth will come out. So again, it's a balance. If you use MS the way Hashem wants you to use MS, then you'll be able to create a shalom within the MS as well. And may Hashem help us find that balance and use it. You don't have to be chas v'shalom, reach the point of where you have an addiction to realize that the only way to get out of it is to stick to truth. We all need to learn that. How MS, even though sometimes it's hard and sometimes it's inconvenient because you have to commit to something or you have to say something that may disappoint somebody, but it's important to convey the truth that it's important to do so. Bracha v'atzlacha.